Hey friends, just a quick courtesy warning for those that are really enjoying the show. More power to you. We are happy that you're enjoying it. If you're worried that a couple of hobbits sharing their feelings, their thoughts, and their critiques about this show might spoil things for you or put you in a bad mood, or you're just not interested in hearing anything negative about this show, then remember that listening to this episode is optional. You don't have to. If you are loving the show and you still want to hear our opinions and mount a defense for the creative decisions in this show, then come on in. We've always highly encouraged folks to hit us up on the Hobbit Hotline and share your opinions as well. Lane and I do enjoy meaningful conversations about what works and what doesn't. Critique is a part of the viewing experience, and discussing inconsistencies or flaws helps us better understand the storytelling process. Now, with all of that said, here's the episode.
I was looking something up, you know, it's so interesting that they wanted to pull... You know, they you can tell they really were just pulling characters in from the third age that everyone knew, just name drops.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the one that you, that I guess if you're trying to dig into the lore and be accurate, and you're, they're clearly not, but like you could have brought in a sick character and like you would have had people who are like me and you and enthusiasts who would have hit the streets and said, dude, Glorfindel's a sick character. I can't believe,
yeah.
I can't believe that that's actually accurate there. They brought him in. He kind of showed up prior to the Istari, and his mission was actually pretty dang similar to theirs. That's pretty sick that they brought him in. Even if they bring him in a little bit earlier into this, you know, Sack of Eregion, like, all right, I could believe that, you know.
But, I've honestly wondered if we were going to see him.
Yeah, and I'm like,
but then that just makes too much sense, though. They won't do that.
Why wouldn't they? Since Peter Jackson didn't do it, we're not going to do it because you guys don't know who he is.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, what, right, dude? Why even have Celebrimbor in there then? Why even throw his name in there? Like, why Gil-galad? You should have just had a story with like Elrond and Galadriel then, just to pull on the like. For example, they could have, like I was saying, you know, just done this whole bit where it was just the siege of.
That's a Eregion, great idea,
right? You just build up to this moment. Never show us Numenor. We don't need to freaking see any of that stuff. Then you don't tick us off as much. Like you don't have all these things happening. Just show us an accurate build up to that, or take Galadriel like going to her realm and finding her realm and like the little adventures that she has along the way, and write a whole backstory that was never there. Fine,
yes,
go make an actual fan fiction in an actual pocket where there isn't lore. Do you know what I'm saying?
Dude.
They decided to write a fan fiction over top of lore that's already there.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to say it.
Yeah, we would have been fine with you just going, take a pocket. People are like, there's really just not a whole lot there. Sure, there are a few hundred years where you're like, okay, there's some room to play there. Go to those spots and make your fan fiction. Instead, no, we're going to overwrite what's already there with our own fanfic. And it sucks.
It's unreal because, like you said, that it could have. And then I just think like the potential for more spin-offs, like you have a season about the sacking of Eregion, and then have a season that's all about Numenor, and then you have, it's kind of like Tolkien Untangled did. But
Lane, why exactly, if you wanted to spin this out for next 10 to 15 years and make this your IP and your property, why would you squander every single pillar in the second age into one show and say, well, we burned through that material pretty quick, didn't we? We took 3,000 years and we burned right through it. Great job. Pat ourselves on the back. You could have gone in and zoomed into moments and said, let's spend three seasons here and knock this out, grow something really cool. And from there, then we can go backwards and forwards. We can expand out. Yep. We could actually do that whole. Now we actually created our show, The Sack of Eregion. We have those characters. Now let's go over to Numenor and do something there. I'll spend two seasons doing that. Build out a little Rings of Power universe. Hello, friends, and welcome back to an unexpected podcast. I'm Ez.
And I'm sidetracked because Celebrian's mom has got it going on. She's everything that I wanted for so long. Celebrian, can't you see, baby? You're not the one for me. Maybe I am wrong, but I'm just into Celebrian's mom, baby.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Dang, call me Mr. Elrond.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's up, baby?
Wow. Yeah, I think the phrase I wanted to use with you is like, Like, what is, how do you say in Elvish, hey, please don't tell your daughter about this? how do you, I mean, I think that's, that fell on the, that, I think they cut that part out, right? I think that was.
Secreto.
Yeah, yeah. Don't, secret. You know, hey, don't tell your daughter.
Don't tell him.
That we're over here. All right. This is okay. It's just dang, dude.
Wow.
Wow.
For a key, I guess, huh? Yeah.
Right.
As you care if we just make this a quick episode? Because, I mean, honestly, no sarcasm. There's too much good to even talk about. So I fear we just keep it short and sweet, you know. Do you care if we jump into our three good things?
Yeah. Oh, dude. You know, I kind of wanted to do something a little. I kind of wanted just to be honest with folks.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So I think people listening went to work today.
Yeah.
I think they had a long, hard day.
Yeah.
I think they dealt with some stressful things. Some people had a great day, but they worked long hours. They were commuting. Yeah. They were doing different things. And, you know, sometimes you just have like, I don't know. It's we're all just trying to make it through. Day in, day out. Some of us are just humble hobbits living paycheck to paycheck. You know what I'm saying?
Come on, baby. Oh, I know.
You know what I'm saying? And so,
oh, I know.
At the end of the day, we just want to sit down and, I don't know, watch something that is going to warm our hearts a little bit, inspire us.
Oh, yeah.
Get us fired up in some
entertain
way.
Us. Entertain us.
Take us away. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I went to go do that today after a long, stressful, just busy, you know, not too stressful, average day. All right. Ups and downs and this and that and what's it's and everything. And I've been playing along. We've been playing along. You guys have all been playing along. And we've been like, you know what? We're going to sit over here and just go on ahead. Feed us what you want to feed us. It's been a long day. Look, I'm just down to turn on the tube and figure out, just take me away, right?
Amen.
But I'm telling you, like, we got to see behind the curtain today. This is probably one of the most ridiculous episodes I have ever freaking seen in my life.
Yep.
I can't even, you know. Like, I told Lane before the episode, I said, hey, man, ask me to go positive on this one. Ask Ez to conjure up three impossible positive things from this episode. I have done it. How many? What are we on episode 7? This is episode 7.
I
just got off the couch and finished watching it. I just sat down here. And I am going to, I'm telling you right now, Ez is not going to lie to you guys anymore. I apologize. I got to apologize, Lane.
Okay.
I actually need to apologize to every single one of our listeners. I have been a flat out liar this
You've been
season.
A deceiver.
I have deceived each and every one of you. And I'm going to own up to it.
Are you talking to me too?
I'm talking to you too, buddy. I apologize. Wow, I apologize because, and look, it could be, I don't know if it's, if maybe it's just some, I don't know, past first age hurt that I have going on as well, you know, if
yeah,
it's,
probably,
if it's.
Probably, some daddy issues.
I mean, maybe.
Everyone's got them. Everyone's got them.
And I just, man, I cannot do it this episode. I thought I would say to you, sure, 5 minutes. Let's do three positive things.
Yeah.
And let's roll with that and roll out of here. But I feel like I owe one to J.R.R. Tolkien.
Wow, dude. Pour one out. I got a beer. I'm going to pour a little on the floor.
Pour it on the floor. I'm just telling you.
God, I hope it seeps to him somehow because I know he's rolling over right now a bunch.
Dude,
and he's probably just dying for a drink.
I'm going to tell you right now. I have heard from people today that I have not heard from in 2 to 3 years. Okay.
That's a drought, brother. Like, since the last time the show was on.
You know what I'm saying? Seriously. And so they came out of the woodwork today and they said, Ez, did you? I mean, everybody. I mean, I had people at school. I dropped one to two things, a line, on one of our English teachers today as to what happened. And it was just like the disgust on his face.
God, dude.
I can't make this up. This is not, I Ez is not somebody who likes to get down. Unlike Murdania, I don't like to lay in the mud and roll. You know what I'm saying?
She got it this episode, and that not the it she was hoping for.
No, she got it, right?
She got split open, but not the good way.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and it was by his hand, but not by his staff.
Wow.
So here's what I'm going to say, just to make you feel better. All right? And I want to clarify something, because I think someone could hear what you just said. And we got each other's back.
Help me out, man. Come on, please.
I mean, no. I think you said everything fine, but I know how people can be.
Okay.
I've read the comments. I know you're not supposed to, but I enjoy reading comments because I like the good and the not so good and everything in between, people's opinions. That's something you and I do.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Sorry. I have to apologize for the coughing, too.
Let it out, son.
Well, I think I'm allergic to amoxicillin. I've been on amoxicillin for like 6 days to help clear up this sickness that Amazon has given me. The darkness is spreading.
Yep.
And this cough has been lingering for like 6 days. And I first thought, I'm just getting it out of my lungs, you know, whatever.
Right.
I looked it up. I'm like, is wheezing and coughing and shortness of breath an allergic reaction to amoxicillin?
Seriously?
And sure enough, bingo. So wow. I'm not going to take it anymore. But anyway, something we do is good comments, bad comments. We don't delete comments from people. We don't really necessarily respond to comments that much either, whatever. Yeah. So I've seen them. There are good ones, there's bad ones. And I think someone could misinterpret what you just said as like, well, the other good episodes, you guys were making stuff up. No, we were not. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Were we scraping the bottom of the barrel?
Yep.
Yes. Has it just become too heavy of a burden to bear? If I can just borrow lines from Peter Jackson as well, since everyone's doing it. Yes, it just became too heavy a burden to bear. My three things. You want to know what my three things were?
Yeah,
let me tell you how ridiculous these are. Number one, cool sound effects.
Okay.
My number one thing for episode 7 was I really like the sound effects.
Yep.
Usually not a good sign for a TV show unless you're in sound design and that's what you're obsessed with. Number two, Charlie Vickers. Again, my caveat was I hate this Sauron. But I love Charlie Vickers. I can't not love him. Him and Lloyd Owen, they've got my heart, bro. And I weep for them because, you know, this should have been better for them.
Yep.
And then my number three was the show. My number three good thing was the show. Now, what I mean by that is keep making them. Keep making season after season, episode after episode, season after season of this show. Because you know what it does?
Yeah.
It just magnifies the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Hell, it makes people go back. What did I say today, man? I called you. I'm like, dude, this show has made me long for the problems from The Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you got but you start nitpicking, and then you go to a new situation thinking it's going to be all better, and it's worse, and you're like, what was I complaining about before?
Yep.
It makes me think, dude, I would take 100 – okay, for example, okay, and apologies to Giants fans out there, Cowboys fans out there. Apologies to Brian Higgins. I know he's a Giants fan.
Yep.
But I would rather watch a full season, a full 17-game NFL season where the Giants and the Cowboys play each other every week versus watching another episode of this show.
Wow.
Like if I had to pick one,
that's pretty bad.
That's pretty – for anyone who's not a Cowboys and Giants fan, you'll know what that means.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad. And then, so my number three was literally just keep making them because you're making everything that came before and everything that's going to come after. You can't get any worse, man.
Well,
you could make a show on the toilet and it would be better than what we just saw. Like and if people enjoyed it, that's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, again, what this episode has solidified for almost everyone, I think it's inarguable now to say that this is a Tolkien / Middle Earth /
adaptation.
It is no longer now. It wasn't an adaptation before, but now it's completely.
Every episode grows further from it.
Oh so, my Lord, dude! Like just
let me. Yeah.
And then like the so we'll probably get into this, but right the kiss between Elrond and Galadriel,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you know we of course as fans react to that. We're like, this is just like, what did I just. I think when we did the trailer reaction too, I'm like, oh, it's Elrond's hand. Maybe Elrond's going to make out with Galadriel too. And I'd never thought it. That was like such a
joke. You're just kidding around. Yeah.
Like, there's no way. And then I saw it today and I was taken back to that moment. I'm like, oh my God, they did it.
Mm-hmm.
They actually did this
thing.
They
actually did it.
Like, who hasn't been intimate with Galadriel? I mean, who hasn't at this point?
Oh, dude.
And like you said, a kiss in Star Wars means intimacy.
Intimacy.
And I think Lord of the Rings, that kind of matches up about the same way, honestly. If you think about who we've seen kiss, Aragorn and Arwen, Rosie and Sam, it's usually a pretty good, like, PG-13 sign that, hey, they've been intimate. But anyway, the way that we do this thing, and then, well, guys, are you kidding me? Let it go. Let it go. That was a diversion. Mm-hmm. It was just so he could get her the key.
Yeah, yeah.
And then even in that little, oh, dude, chill out, chill out. See how genius this was? Even in that, you're like, well, where in the hell did Elrond get the key?
Yeah, it's all lost.
It's just like,
it's all...
we're going to do a cute little back door, and even our back doors aren't going to make sense. So, yeah, no,
dude,
those are my three things that I love from this episode. It was not even...
I'm
going
to give you my three.
So.
I started off with like, oh, hey, I don't have anything, right? I started off with like, hey, I've lied to you guys, right? Okay.
Yeah.
That is literally, as Lane said, to bring out the idea here that I've this episode took me in such a way that I was like, it almost... upset. It actually, you know, before I've just been like, okay, not Tolkien. Okay, not whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right, fine. I'll find something good about it. All right, cool. Here's some cool things. It's bringing people to the table for Tolkien. Cool beans. This episode
made you sick.
Made me sick. It felt like a slap in the actual face to Tolkien's work and to some of his characters that he built and created and built into the lore. And all this lore is backstory for the Third Age, the setting of the Lord of the Rings. All of this is meant to tie right into, you know, what we have, what we love and hold dear and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes, I'm also, you know, I'm exaggerating. I don't lie to you guys, okay? I've tried my very best. Scrape the bottom of the barrel. Try to find things that we think are positive. Keep it there. Today, I just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And I have
no longer deceive yourself.
Yeah, I guess it's like
a line from the show.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can come up with three. I have three. I actually wrote down three as I was sitting on the couch. Like, okay, cool. Four. All right. You know, but like, never have I felt like it was more like before we started. I was like, let's just choose this route. Let's just go this way for season two.
Yeah.
We'll change up for season three. We'll have a whole different approach
for
season three. Season one was different. Season two is different. Season three is gonna be different. So in season two, we decided. Come out strong on first episode, go crazy. Then the second episode, which would be episode 1, 2, 3, 4, episode 4, we said, all right, look, let's separate these two. Let's start to dish good and bad. And it comes down to this episode, and I have just never seen more character assassination in one episode. It honestly trumps all of the episodes previous to this.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's so sexually charged. I hate to say this word.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there's so.
I mean, don't lie.
People were begging for me to say it, just like Sauron said, right? You know what I'm saying? They were practically begging for me to say it. That's a joke.
Yeah.
That's a joke. Tolkien doesn't do that. We don't do this. What is this modern? Like, come on, man. Like I said, like with the Star Wars reference. By the way, there was a force choke in this episode for crying out freaking loud. Like, there was it actually. Darth Vader force choke for crying out loud. Anyway, but like when. You know, the subtlety of, like, just Tolkien he wasn't explicit about this kind of stuff.
No.
He wasn't explicit about relationships and intimacy and stuff. And you might say, well, it's not over the top, Ez. What are you talking about here? I don't know, man. It is to test waters. It's to be edgy.
Look how clever we are. Dude, I will say this, though. Like, I mean... If people say that what you just said is over the top, I would say, well, he was explicit because Galadriel actually had a husband.
Yeah.
And at this time, they had been together for quite a while. And at this time, they had a daughter. And so, like, those explicit things that he did put in there, they've changed. They've ignored. They've thought they could create it's honestly like a bizarro. What's in Community? They have the dark timeline. This is the dark timeline of the Second Age.
Mm.
I think that's maybe the only way to move forward with it. If you've ever seen Community, it's a hilarious episode. Well, it's this concept that Abed has, of the Dark Timeline. And he's the only one who believes it's true, and we get like snippets of it throughout like the show, and it's hilarious. It's like everything goes wrong. He's got a goatee and he's evil. It's amazing. Yeah. And that's exactly what this is like. Like, it's literally we've talked about this too. It's just like, I think it double. I don't know why this episode threw me. I felt the same way. I felt so like my mouth was open the whole time, and for not good reasons. I was
disbelief.
Disbelief. I mean, it started with the catapulting of, I'm like, they're going to really just knock this mountain down into the river. Like, okay, that was wild. But I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah, okay.
Again, really, really cool sound effects. I love the way it sounded. And then they're going to, sorry, man.
You're good. You're good. Get it out. Get it out.
Then they're going to have, like a very important, honestly, it was probably the most important conversation this entire episode, right on the edge of the parapet.
Dude.
When orcs are the other thing that just ruined it for me was this. I've never seen less believable battle scenes in my entire life. We heard the term form ranks one time. Most of it was a bunch of, like 10 elves just running around back and forth, like not knowing what to do. You had like this big wall siege thing that actually was a pretty cool concept. Like, I kind of like that, but literally there was like one mention of it. Celebrimbor's like, hey, bring that down. And then no one shot at it. And
yeah.
There's 10 elves standing right in front of it. And they'd rather have a ass backwards conversation with Celebrimbor and Annatar than actually defending their city. It's just like, Mir Danya standing on the edge of the wall with no kind of,
no armor. Weapon, no, what? She's a
no
smith.
What armor? Right. Yeah. I'm like, dude, what's going on? Like, the wisest creatures or race of beings in all of Middle Earth. I mean, you couldn't make them any dumber. You couldn't dumb them down anymore. And I know what their reasoning is, because they've come out and said it. They're like, well, it's the deception. It's the black dark magic of Sauron working on them. And I'm like, show us evidence.
Yeah, okay.
There's been no evidence, because they haven't changed this whole time. They've been like this the whole time. This has been the characterization of the elves. So
it
went from one thing to another, dude, to another, where I was just like, I can't even suspend disbelief long enough to like even listen to what people are saying.
Wait, hear me out. So we decided before this episode, we said, okay, I'm gonna give you my three good here in a second. All right, I'm holding on to them. But then we're gonna come back and we're gonna go line by line. And we're probably not going to do it tonight. We'll see. I don't think so. But we'll probably come back this weekend, and we'll do it line by line. Because I was at work on a lunch break, started the episode, and I literally almost got sick. I was like, I was like, this is unbelievable. I started taking notes. I started jotting stuff down. I was like, wait, what? You know, and so people who are wondering, well, what is the what, Ez? Like, what's the thing? We'll break it down for you, buddy. We will go line by line. We will go through the unbelievable things. We'll go through the impossible shot made by an elf that nobody knows, nobody cares about until 2 seconds ago. And you know what I'm saying? Like, the setup for this, too. So part of it, people want to, hey, man, the lore, dude, you got to let it go, bro. You got to calm down, man.
Let go of the backbone.
Look,
and
man,
the,
this show's time compressed. You better just get over it, dude. All right? But so... But then you go to, well, hold on a second. In a lot of ways, I was looking for good execution. Once we figured that out in season one, I'm looking for good execution. I'm looking for good line delivery. I'm looking for good dynamics in the story and some cleverness and different things. And it is just, it's falling flat. Everywhere it can fall flat. Like, there is, and I've seen a lot of the people break this down, like, when armies just appear, when one character just appears in Khazad Dûm and the next second he appears on the battlefield riding, and it just feels like it's cutting and jumping all over the different place. Earlier we had to like take we had these long treks and these journeys and this build up, and then we don't do that later on at these other moments. It just feels all over the place to me, and the execution feels poor, like the setup for some of these things. So it's not just the lore; it's also the execution of all these other things that are going on.
Yeah, and there was this comparison out there too that a lot of people have said that I disagree with. I understand what people are saying, but when people liken the liberties they've taken here to the liberties that Peter Jackson and his team took for the original trilogy, it's not even remotely. Like, I mean, I would challenge someone to go through both go ahead and go through both and just take a simple tally mark. Get your Lord of the Rings, get out your Tolkien Gateway and fact check.
Yep.
Fact check things that actually happened, people that actually interacted. Even shit, go ahead and tally up like lore characters.
Yeah.
And just do a tally sheet for the Lord of the Rings. Just do the Fellowship of the Ring and then do both seasons of Rings of Power and tell me which one has more tallies to its credit.
Lane,
and I can tell you, you'd have about 3 on one and 300 on another.
Yeah, and that's a really good way to put it. Go look at things in Rings of Power and come back and tell me what have we seen that has been lore accurate.
Yeah.
Go tell me what that is. Go tell me and say that's lore accurate, that's pulled
from...
And again, I don't think you're going to find a lot.
No, dude, and the caveat to that, the response to that, again, I really just don't think it holds water when people say, "Well, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Get over it. Get over the lore. There's nothing there." I'm like, dude, Ez is holding a book in his hands right now.
I actually just picked it up as you said that.
That has more on a page.
Has 290 more events, 294 pages.
There you go. More events on a single page than we have in an entire episode of Rings of Power. So that, I think people who are saying that were like me 2-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Didn't know. Want to know. Maybe they're shills for the show, for Amazon. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're the kind of contrarian person who doesn't like dissenters or disagreement.
Sure.
And they're just like, oh, anyone who's bitching about this is just a little baby and they're book nerds and what a bunch of crybabies. And I mean, that could be their mentality and that would be fine too, but especially if it was true. But it's not true. There is so much there and there's so much that he references and even just relationships that he, like you said, he plops down in like timelines even that, okay, well these people were friends. Okay.
Yeah.
What do we know about them? Okay. Well, not much, but how do we fill in the blanks? Not how do we make this person and that person's dad friends? Oh, and then how do we move them 3,000 years in the future?
Yeah.
Okay. Now how do we, can we kill one of them? Let's just not even mention one of them.
Can we have two of them kiss? Can we maybe?
Right. Dude, as I wouldn't be surprised at this point if eventually they tell us that Galadriel is pregnant with her child, Arwen.
Let me ask you a question. Why did he have to kiss her on the mouth so intimately? Uh-huh. I'll just go ahead and ask it. Why didn't he kiss her on the cheek?
Well, let me tell you what.
Execution. Just a few things here. I mean,
100%. Like, I mean, in that argument, you might as well have been like, Viggo, go ahead and kiss Sean Bean right in the mouth. Tongue, open mouth, make it as sexual as possible. You're saying farewell here, right? It's just ridiculous. It's... Like these orcs would be so turned on that they'd be like, oh, dang, how do
and
I get
wait,
a slice
and
of
also,
that
if, action? If he has like some romantic relationship with her and he's saying farewell and it is actually intimate, why in the world would Elrond just walk out of there on his girlfriend? You know what
exactly,
I mean?
Dude.
Like, that's also – Adar wouldn't fall – he wouldn't fall for that.
No.
Like, none of it really made any sense. I mean, it's about as bad – I mean, it makes about as much sense as a Rondir storyline. You know, nothing
– he's not going to really be dead either. I mean, he's going to be alive.
Heck no. Well, first, he can't be, Lane, because he saved every single person in this show.
Right.
He's the character that they created that saves everybody. So,
that's true.
And I think he's cool. I actually think the actor's awesome. I'm like, let's freaking go, dude.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And going, let me dive into my positives real quick, because I want to say this.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Charles Edwards, who plays Celebrimbor, this was the episode where I actually saw, I mean, he's a great actor. This episode, his acting, and there's a few moments where I'm like, awesome. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
like,
honestly, he showed some development.
He says the line, something like, you know, what does he say? He's like, you are he, or whatever. Whatever line that was where he realizes it's Sauron. Some people might not have liked it. I'll go ahead and tell you. In a story where it's lore accurate and you show me my kid, because they've destroyed Celebrimbor's character.
Oh, they
absolutely
have. Yeah, they've raked him over the coals.
Destroyed him. And it's like, I told Lottie before she went upstairs, I was like, okay, the only thing I'm going to put down here is like that line for me. I was like, okay, finally he's recognized him. Okay. And then there's this, you know, the redemption that they try to give him. It's so it's like he figures out that he's being deceived because of a mouse and a pattern in terms of this mouse running back and forth.
Jewel and the hammer.
And the jewel and the hammer. And he's figured it out. He's so smart. He's, thank God, like he finally Matrix. Figured it out. It's unbelievable.
Glitch in the Matrix. That was just, again, more. Since you brought it up, and to piggyback off that, I also really liked his line. Again, people are probably going to ridicule me for this, and that's okay. But I kind of liked his line about strength and darkness and the light.
Oh, to Galadriel?
I didn't think that was terrible.
No.
It felt a little bit like the whole scene with the rock, and you know why the rock sinks and the ship doesn't.
Yeah.
Touching darkness, touching cloth, whatever.
Right.
But I was like, okay. I waited for them to go one step where I'm like, oh, that's just the dumbest. Like that doesn't make any sense.
It held up.
I was like, okay, that's not. And maybe. And I was looking for that. I was looking for it to be okay. How are you gonna mess this up? How are you gonna make this? The only reason it didn't have more depth is because, again, I don't give a damn about Celebrimbor. I don't care if he lives or dies. We know what happens to him, but I want to see him tortured. Like, that's what I want. I shouldn't want that. That's a scene or an occurrence that should make me weep.
Yeah, it's, right? Yes, it should. It should. And like, again, his acting is great. His facial expression, all of it. I am literally ashamed that this show did not give him the Celebrimbor that is in heart and in mind, was not deceived. When the deception is full in terms of like freaking Sauron puts on the ring in Mordor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Mordor, that's been there since the first age, he puts the ring on and they are all wise to him and to his deception. And then he defies him. He then is the person defying him and standing and going and actually seeking out Galadriel's aid and saying, you're the wisest in our land. What do you think? Here's Nenya, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's a whole other story. And I just, a lot of people don't know it. You and I actually intentionally, if you go back and listen to our podcast in season one going into it, we're like, we're going to go in dumb. We're going to go in. Yep. With a few things, just a cursory kind of, things that we picked up over the years, just absorbed like a sponge through being Tolkien fans over the years, but not really, gone nitty gritty and tried to memorize it all and get it all down. And then something just fell off. Something fell off. It continued to feel off. And then, you go do one check, just one quick little check on the accuracy of some of this stuff. And you're like, wait, I don't think this is going at all the way. And then by the time we get to the end of the season and they start forging the elven rings, you're like, wait a second, dude. Hold on. I mean, this is like, it's all backwards. It's all backwards because Celebrimbor is now like, he's at the height of his, when he forges those rings, it's like on his own, dude. He is like, I mean, he's at the top of his game. They're the best. We'll go on later about that. But I mean,
something fun they did with the rings this episode is they, Sauron's blood's in the Nine too.
And people be like, it didn't say that. No, it actually says, and Lane was right. I was at school and we were talking about this and he said something like, the reason that Sauron can't take, his form gets all wrapped up in the one ring. He can't take Carl. He binds all of his essence and his energy, the sacrifice that they talk about. That line is fine and cool. And if he would have said that line in reference to the one ring, I'd been like, dude, sick line. Yeah. Okay, you learn something from Celebrimbor and you use that to make the one ring. Dude, you dog. That's all right. But now we're talking about the Nine. And I'm like,
It diminishes the power of the one ring.
It that does the because then he can't like put all of his. Yeah, thing, you're right.
Yes. Yep. The one thing that set it apart was it was his life force was bound to it, to quote Gandalf. Yep. And that's how he's able to persist.
Yeah.
Even when his physical form is destroyed. So, I was just like, oh my God. But anyway, back to Celebrimbor. Yep.
Yeah.
Charles Edwards did a good. Yeah. Good.
He did. I mean,
his best performance was this episode. I guess you could probably say that.
Absolutely, it really was, and it truly was like it's so sad just to see that version of Celebrimbor on screen. It really made me. I mean, he's pulling it off. I actually think of him as like Mark Hamill trying to pull off Rian Johnson's version of Luke Skywalker. Like, look, the actor is like, he's gonna play ball. He's just an actor. He's gonna like not nothing. Yeah. I mean, he's not just an actor. He's whatever. He's
no, yeah.
And he's a master at his craft. But when you're crafting crap, it's, you know, I don't know, man. So anyway,
how much can you polish a turd, you know?
Yeah. And it just anyway. So I agree with you. My number two actually was also Charlie Vickers and his acting.
Man.
It really was. I mean, I got it right on the screen. Yeah. I was like, okay, wow. You know, even going into some of like the Sauron that they've given us, like a sorry Sauron, right? And just feel sorry for him. I mean, they're doubling and tripling and quadrupling down on it. I don't know why he and Adar don't get along more with all the dad dynamics. You know, is it because Adar is a dad?
Oh my God,
He doesn't. You know what I'm saying? The daddy issues.
I do. If I have to hear Adar call them his children one more time, I think I'm going to throw up.
I think I'm going
to
cry. I mean, I think I'm going to cry. Yeah.
It's not going to happen either, because we can see what all episode they were about as subtle as a butter knife. They're like, hey, won't more of us die if we do that? Yes, but I love you. But don't you want us to live, Dad, and have a good life?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but we need to destroy them. And if we do, then we'll have a good life, son. But Dad, Damrod's going to kill us. But I love you, son. It's just like, what in the world?
Yeah.
God, first of all, we don't care. Second of all, at least like make it some like use some tact. It's like we're literally a 10-day forecast. It's like, well, and next Wednesday's Saturday, it's going to be a thunderstorm. So get ready for it. And it's like, you know, it's coming, right? You know it's coming. So the orcs are going to turn on Adar, and then somehow the orcs and Sauron are going to get hooked up, and then that's how they're going to make this great transition happen. And it's going to be awful because we don't care about it, and it's going to be poorly executed like everything else. And the whole daddy issue thing is ridiculous. When he's sitting there talking to Celebrimbor, he's like, you know, I know exactly how you feel. You know, it was Morgoth who tormented me. Can you imagine? And he goes, I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
Let's strip Sauron of more of his power. Let's make the One Ring not as special or as evil or as unique. And let's make his allegiance was never really to Morgoth. He was just a poor prisoner tormented and did this out of a desire to be free.
Yeah, man. So I don't know. I would actually be interested to see. Yeah, I'm going to start looking into more comments and stuff and see. Does anybody else feel the same way? And I know we've gotten into a couple of specifics here, but we're gonna again save a lot of our specifics for later on. But
I am
I think it's I want to, because slows honestly out. On the main feed I'm sort of like I'm blown away. Everybody I talked to at work was just sort of also blown away, like Adar tears. I mean, it's like the kiss scene. Myrdania, what the heck is going on there? Where is Celebrimbor? I mean, Jesus, cow, like what, where are some of these other, I mean, I don't know.
The fight scenes, like the whole battle scene was ridiculous.
Well, and then she's getting shot by orcs with bow and arrows I didn't see a single orc holding a bow until the very end. And I saw one or two shots and I'm like, what, dude, where were they?
And most of the orcs I saw were standing around talking. They're just standing around talking. And most of the elves I saw were standing around talking. And I thought to myself, and then when you get these wide shots, dude, like when Gil-galad comes in, he's got like five people with him.
Oh my God. Wait, sorry.
And then at the final scene, it looks like there's 15 elves left.
There's five. And then there's six.
What? And then to the point where Elrond doesn't even go consult Gil-galad. We see him bending the knee to Adar.
Dude, I thought they were trying to mimic what Peter Jackson did. And I thought the elves, why do the elves look so ridiculous compared to like Legolas and like, look at Helm's, how did they want to mimic a Helm's Deep like battle scene and then pull off what they pulled off? Like if you want to copy Helm's Deep, just go copy it. And we're like, okay, it's their version of Helm's Deep. It's not that creative, but also execute it and make it look freaking sick. And instead they go over and it's like, it's not even a believable fight. It doesn't feel like there's actual. Like in the way it's edited and cut up, right, when Elrond's leaving and stuff, and they're all kind of slowly creeping out to get him, and the next thing you know, his horse is surrounded. And didn't you mention, like, weren't there, let me look this up, weren't there a couple horses that died in this?
Yes, there were. Yes, isn't there that were.
And then they had the audacity to go ahead and show one on screen.
Kill a horse. I know.
I can't.
Didn't I say to you, I think that maybe that's the one who actually died? Like, how hilarious, not hilarious, but how
ridiculous, like, that they
deaf,
would.
How tone deaf is that? You leave that in. had no bearing at all. Yeah, and like you said, there's elves dying left or right around him, and he's, like, drawn to his horse. We've never seen him have any kind of interaction with a horse before. There's no setup for it, but he's moved to the point of walking through battle where he could have just been killed and somehow magically, of course, doesn't get touched, and he has this this goodbye scene with – it's just like, what in the heck is happening? It's like they literally just took little – sorry. It's like they took little trite and tropes from Lord of the Rings and said, copy-paste. Well, it doesn't make sense in that order, in that picture. It's fine. We got the horse with Elrond. That's like Aragorn and his horses. It's cool, man. It's cool. We've got, like, the dwarves are going to come during the first light of the whatever day.
Right.
But guess what? Here's how we're going to be creative. They're not going to come.
They're not going to come.
Yeah. Dude, people are going to be talking about this for – well, we will be, but not for good reasons. And it's just like, dude, I don't know. I thought to myself, at least we'll get a good, like, intriguing battle scene. And my Lord.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
it honestly made, like, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is like a PG movie. It made it look hard as heck. It looked like the fight scene at the end of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe looks like an R-rated film compared to what we saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. Like, there's a few moments where I'm like, okay, that explosion looks cool. And there's a few, like you said, some of the special effects or like the sound effects and things. You're like, all right, cool. But like, why is it not all feeling pieced together? Why does it not feel cohesive? Why can I not understand what direction the elves are coming from and where the orcs are at? Like, I've had no sense of, was it that they were trying to create this distorted battlefield experience or something? I don't really even know. I got to say this one. High King Gil-galad, all right, shows up. Uh-huh. And his famous line in this battle, by the way, this is the battle, right? So this is his famous, he's got to have a line. And it's, go back to your hill and be buried. that's his line, okay? And I first of all, I didn't even know it was him for a second, right? Sitting there and you're like, he just rides in with everybody else. He feels like a background character riding around. Yep. And you're like, wait, why is he not popping and standing out? Like, I recognize him, but like someone like Lottie or whatever, until he stops, like, oh, he's there? Like, you didn't see him. You saw 2 seconds where Elrond looked at him and like, how did he get there? It's just, people are just popping up and teleporting all over the place. And it makes it unbelievable. That's bad editing. That is honestly bad direction. That's poor execution. So anyways, go back to your hill and be buried.
Yeah. And you're right. I'm not. It's the same kind of same just thing. Wow, boy, that really, dang, I'm going to remember that one. I'm going to get that tattooed to my bicep.
Right.
Like, so you made a great point there, right? Like, I think they thought, oh, we won't show Gil-galad all episode, and then he'll show up and it will be this big moment. And I think when people have that line of thinking, it's, for instance, okay, look at Return of the King. We spent most of the first half of that movie watching Rohan muster.
Yes, sir.
We see the Rohirrim getting ready, moving closer, building up, and it doesn't take away from their arrival at all. In fact, it makes their arrival something that people still, dude, will go watch that movie and theaters will cheer when they show up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Bro, if someone cheered when Gil-galad and these elves showed up, I feel like I need to give them a whole bunch of movies to watch. And it's not the same. It can't
it'd
be
forced.
Thing,
I feel like it would be forced. I mean, maybe I'm wrong and you're like, well, okay, come on now, dude. But
sure. Okay.
Maybe there's somebody out there who's really like, oh, this is sick. You know, I don't know. Cause that charge gets halted by Galadriel. Right. I mean, the epic moment.
Was ridiculous. That part was ridiculous. Also, I want to ask too, like, when does the stun affect orcs? Is it just kind of whenever
needs
it?
Yeah, they brought, by the way, they brought all of their clouds and doom and the stuff from Mordor. They brought that with them.
Okay.
And
just wanted to make sure.
Right. So that.
Yeah.
Dude, unfreaking real.
It's unreal. It's just so inconsistent, and there's no. Yeah. It just felt like there was no.
Fell apart.
I just felt like they didn't. Yeah, fell apart. Like, it felt like. And it was already falling apart. It's like almost like it was falling apart, and then they just decided to take it apart. And
I know it's good. Okay. So speaking of things just falling apart, like didn't like an episode or two ago, and again, this is our initial watch. We're just kind of going through it, and like on an initial watch, like Lane and I are not doing deep dives, watching this like four or five times before we come and do like a scripted breakdown for you guys and pull out the Easter eggs. Literally, lore inaccuracies just jump off of this like in like crazy. Okay, so that's sort of what's setting us off a little bit. And then you've got the execution piece, which is just we've watched film, we're critics, and you know we're able to kind of. We have a lot of other Tolkien stuff to compare it to. Like you said, I've watched The Hobbit 100 times over. But going back to like Gil-galad, like an episode or two ago, where he's just like, I mean, Elrond says to him, like, you need to send your forces to to Eregion. And he's like, he's sending them to Mordor.
We don't have the forces.
We don't have the forces to do that. You never finished that conversation.
No. Nope.
Like, when did... like you see what I'm saying, like the moment where like, oh, Gil-galad's here, he did finally see the light and he turned his forces from Mordor and started heading this way, like he's directing this I don't know, man. I'm the dummy here, which is fine, I think. You know, but I don't, you remember that conversation that he had where they were kind of talking about, like,
because we thought it was ridiculous that would be a reason. Again, it's like Numenor has two ships. The elves only have 10 soldiers, but there's all these orcs who are just, God, they just want a house. They just want a house and a picket fence and 2.5 kids and a wife. Like, that's all they're after.
Right.
And there's a million of them. So,
it's weird.
And then, dude, for me too, even like the dwarf scene where he was, again, we talk about how it just feels small. He's in there giving that speech, which I got to say, it was not D4's finest, like. The speech wasn't – like, execution was fine, I guess, but the speech sucked to me.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.
We've never built up any other kind of relationship with a reason why a whole kingdom of dwarves would be like, yeah, let's go help the elves. Let's go die for these elves.
Yeah,
like,
the only
person we've – right. Again, yes. So he's talking and I'm like, here we go. Here's the wide shot. And it was a room of 10 people. And then it's like, see, Asen Lane, we knew you'd be watching. Look, he looks out the window.
And everybody.
Everybody. And then my mind, initially, like, goes to the fact that, wait, so that speech that just filled up that one room, all of Casa Doom heard, total. I think I even said, I'm like, oh, they all heard it?
Yeah.
They all just heard it. It just echoed somehow magically through the entire cavern and they're every. And then even something that does to me, even when they panned out or did this wide shot and you see all these dwarves, I still looked at it and I was like, it's not enough. That doesn't look like enough to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like, I was talking to Sarah about it. I'm like, is it because Peter Jackson in the films had the massive engine, which was like that, like the extra technology that they were all digital creations, but they were like intelligent, digital extras, and you could literally film them side by side with actual actors and they held up.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think to myself, they're definitely not doing that because it's almost like because they don't have that technology, they don't even try or something or ability. They don't have that ability. They don't try. And so all we see is like just the amount of like just the actual people they have available. And it's obviously not enough. Like I think about the Ride the Rohirrim, right? When they're charging into the Pelennor Fields, like go watch the behind the scenes sometime. There are horses, completely digital horses and riders. They're the ones that get shot right next to live action actors and riders. And in the films, I mean, you can tell the difference, but only by like absolute fraction of a like iota. Like it is so hard to discern. And that was
but the benefit
30 years ago.
Right. 30 yeah, exactly. But the benefit of that though is that it feels much larger, right?
Yes.
I mean, 100%. I think there's never
makes
been
it
a moment
magically larger.
Right. Yeah. And you look at a Raygeon and you're like, there's nobody freaking there. I understand why Gil Gallard would be like, we don't have the freaking forces, dude. Yeah, you know, hey man, we've only got this many actors hired here. We can't really do it. So it's just weird. You know, I went back and I'm scrubbing through just to kind of figure out where was it that, that Gil Gallad had this conversation. Like, when's the last time we saw him? It wasn't in episode 6. It was in episode 5. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
We went a whole episode. We didn't see him. And, so it's like, I think he has like a letter or something he finally gets a letter from Celebrimbor and he's like looking at it. Right. And thinking about it. And I don't know if he's picking up on the deceit there or not. Yeah. And, let's see here. Yeah. The letter proves Galadriel was wrong. Right. And whilst we hesitate, Adar's army grows stronger by the day. So they did have this, you know, if we invade, we must leave now. And so he's getting pressed to kind of do that. And he's weighing his decisions here. But he's already sort of like Elrond and his forces are in motion, and then Elrond's going to come back and tell him what to do. Let me scrub ahead here and find that, because also, like, it's so long ago.
When he became Galadriel's general, like when was this decision made too, I guess?
Right. It's this is where you have too many storylines and stuff that we honestly can't follow at all. Like it's our initial sort of, you know, watch through or whatever, but. It is just, like I said,
I don't think there's anything there, man. I don't think it's like I think we're only going to find more problems the more we watch, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And
right.
I guess like, if that's not true, we'll find that out. And then apologies to anyone who's like, no, you guys missed a ton of stuff. I don't think there's anything there.
Right. Going back and I scrubbed ahead. Like he does say, there's no finish on this, which is nuts. I just scrubbed through everything. He goes back and they're looking. And this is, again, I look for these things because it's like, this is not, has nothing to do with lore. It has nothing to do with anything in Tolkien. It's show verse only. Yeah. It's just what the show is telling us. And, you know, Elrond's telling him like, hey, you know, there are no orcs in Mordor. We need to kind of, you know, go to Eregion and literally... He says that will not be possible, is what he says. I have reason to believe that Sauron is the architect of all of this. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, like, what is he saying here? Yeah. He says, High King Eregion is the very jewel of Elvendom. And he's trying to convince him that, you know, if it were to fall, it would be a mortal blow for all in Middle Earth. So is he having like a moment where Galadriel is like, we don't want to play into his hand, or what's the deal? But he's like, you must send aid, right? It's like Gondor calls for aid, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And then he says this. So, like, there's no orcs there. And he's there's no orcs in Mordor. And he says, our armies cannot defeat both Adar and Sauron. Elrond just told you that, like, they're headed to Eregion. Like, the orcs that, the only ones we know of are in Mordor, and he just said they're not there.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're like, okay, where are you going to send your forces? Anyway, and all he says is not alone. We can't defeat them alone. And so then that's sort of the mission where we're like, oh, is he going to call Numenor? What's he going to do? And then Elrond is sent to go get aid. But it just, so then when he shows up, that's it. I mean, like, that's what I missed, right? Was the decision by saying not alone. He meant, okay, you're right, Elrond. We're not going to send our forces to Mordor. We're actually going to go do our thing. All of these, all the dialogue is super.
Is that what that means, though? It's hard to even tell what
that's
hell
what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
So ambiguous and
right, and it's
indecisive,
it's cloaked. Everything seems really, really, really cloaked and hard,
vague,
and hard to decipher. Or it's kind of like when you were talking to Tom Bombadil and the Stranger, like they were talking, right? And it's like, is somebody here? And he's like, well, you're here. And he's like, no one's answering any freaking questions. No one's speaking straight. Yeah. No one is actually. Yes. Actually talking to each other. They're all talking above and around each other and trying to be clever, too clever. And it's
snoring?
Just, yeah, right.
Who's snoring?
I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and I feel like I'm paying attention. I'm over here taking notes and stuff, trying to figure out what's 100%. Going on. So
the only reason we're watching at this point is to watch for, like, we're trying to watch critically. We're not, I'm not watching for enjoyment anymore. Like, I thought about putting it up in the background right now, and I can't, like, I just, there's no, just, I thought about it, I'm like, that would make me feel kind of sick, I think.
Well, I mean, you know why? Because in this episode, you'll have to spend 5 minutes watching Celebrimbor decide whether to cut his thumb off or not. Okay?
100%, man.
You have to spend
100%.
Believe they embarrassed that character that way? I mean, that like I'm gonna go ahead and get some of the things I was saving for last episode. Can you believe that they brought him that low,
bro? And when you brought up the mouse and the jewel thing for me, I was just like, this is literally a glitch in the Matrix.
They're mocking him. I mean, that's the thing. They're mocking the character of Celebrimbor, and I think that's why I'm so upset, because this episode it really kind of showed me that like there was not one thread. The only thing, and I was searching for it. I was combing through, like, okay, I got to find something good here. And the only thing I'm holding on to is that speech that you said that he gave to Galadriel. Yep. I'm like, well, at least, I mean, it's too late. It's already completely, his character has been destroyed. He's cut his freaking thumb off, man. Like, I don't, like, dude.
It's insane.
That was insane to me. I mean, he's so weak. He's so easily deceived, and it's all so backwards, and it all makes him, if Celebrimbor was one of the characters you were looking forward to, and you might say, well, why would that be? Well, because you go look, and as I think D4 said this episode, this is in our age, this is the moment. He kind of called that out in his speech, and he said, this is the time, ring the freaking bell, this is the big episode. When you go look for lore in the second age, this is the freaking moment that you look at. You look at this one and you say, okay, there's this one, and then our Pharazon later on coming to bring old, discount Sauron, or I'm sorry, sorry Sauron down, right? And when you see this moment executed, you go, okay, you had, even if you're like, well, there's not five points to this particular, sack of Eregion, but if you said there was only five, They didn't do a single one of the five. Whatever the small points that are there, they didn't do a single one of them. Do you know what I'm saying? So like none. They made nine rings. Okay, I'll give you. All right, hey, you got me. Good job. They did at least make
the numbers
nine.
Right, and they're four men supposedly. Although Galadriel has them now. And then you also kind of start to think about, okay, sorry.
Get it out. Hey, let that darkness out of your. Let it out,
dude. I wish I could stop. It hurts so bad.
I'm sorry, dude.
Like,
you're doing a great job.
No, dude. Yeah. No, I'm not. But I think to myself, like, where does this leave us next episode, right? Well, the poor 10 elves left are presumably going to be prisoners of Adar and the orcs, right? That's where they left off. Galadriel's out in the tunnels with the nine rings, and Sauron's going to have to do something with Celebrimbor.
Yeah.
I mean, again, so in my mind, unless the dwarves do decide to come, although I feel like we're going to get the Balrog awoken next episode, like insane. But unless the dwarves do come, or there's Numenor show up, or Numenorians show up, like the battle's done. Like, it's done.
Yeah.
There's no way to left, for a fight to happen. So I just think what do we do now? More talking, more boring conversations, more like treaty meetings where it's like, well, we will give you this if you give us a home. And it's just like, God,
well, what's going on? Like, Adar has Ninya. Like, she's got.
I forgot about that.
She's got the nine rings. Like, you guys, I mean, we could go on and on. Like, all this stuff is all over the place. And so it's all weird. I have no clue where this is all going to finish out and what's going to happen. I mean, again, Celebrimbor went back in. Okay, he went back in to forge the nine so he could save the city. That was the deal, right?
Right.
But then he says, "Hi, off with this thumb, I'm out of here, buddy." Yeah, and it's like, but you just forged the nine. And then you're also going to run away with them. You could have just said no. If you were going to say no and not do it, what is he trying to get a bartering chip there? Maybe. See, I'm not actually trying to. Okay, what could he cleverly be trying to do here? If we take the nine rings and we send Galadriel out of here, Sauron will chase after Galadriel. But that's not what the conversation was about. He was going to go back there and buy her time to save the nine rings that he made. Why did you make them then? If you the deception of Sauron was over, and then it was a threat against your city. He's going to spare your city if you make the nine. So why did you go ahead and make the nine if you weren't going to give them to him so he could spare the city?
Like, I also want
to
say,
was
too,
it just to play along? I mean, that's okay, but nobody says that. That's not that's not clear. It's not, he doesn't believe that. I mean, so
and also, like, how is Sauron going to stop the orcs from attacking the city? How is he going to save the city? can't even get him to follow him.
Well, you apparently, hold on a second. Yeah, well, he can't get him to follow. He can mind control everyone else and force choke everyone else. He has more power than Emperor Palpatine. They're in a region.
He pulled a Kylo Ren with Snoke too, getting those elves to kill each other.
That's what I'm saying. He's got more force powers there.
Yeah,
but yet he could not stop a bunch of orcs.
Well,
from laying him low.
Do you know why? It's because he didn't train with old Tom Kenobi in the desert.
Got it.
Ben Bombadil.
You got me. While I'm on a roll here, sorry, and you can say, I don't know if this is a roll, Ez. No, I'm rolling. And just like J.R.R. Tolkien is rolling in his own grave right now, because this is
bad.
I'm trying to, but I don't know. That was okay. But
that was really good.
One of the greatest, the Lord of Aragion, right? I mean, he's got to have some power and he's wise and he's Celebrimbor, right? And you could say, well, it's the deception of Sauron. He forgets Myrdania's name, which is fine, made up character. Nobody knew who she was before, whatever.
Right.
But he forgot her name, because of Sauron. But yet, like, Galadriel, who has been, like, out at the ocean, doing her thing, like, singly focused on you know, finding Sauron, runs across the character of Rondir and happens to know his freaking name, you know?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, like how? Just a common soldier, doesn't ask him his name, nothing, but, like, pulls him in and says, you know, and calls him by name and persuades him from going. So, it's not believable. Now, hold on. Let me back up a second. Let me say that first. And then come back with you in terms of if Galadriel was this wise, mystical individual who kind of seems to know everything and seems to kind of know who... You know how when we meet her in like, the Lord of the Rings, you're like, oh, shoot. When she drops Arondir's name, that kind of echoed that Galadriel that is to come, right? And the show was like, ooh, look at there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, she knows everybody, buddy. And it's like, okay. Like, what are you trying to show us there? Like, this glimpse of, does she really know him? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, where? Like, does she know everybody? He's supposed to be this common foot soldier, and she calls him by name, and it's actually it's kind of a little interesting, intimate, moment where she saves him.
Trying to get some more, baby.
She saves him. So I just thought it's just odd. It just feels, it could have been, it's one of those moments that's like, could they be kind of powerful? But at the same time, like, you've got, her character that's not the character that they're designing her to be. You know what I mean? No. Like,
true.
She's not that, at times they want her to be young and foolish and immature and be bossed around by Gil-galad. And then at other times they want her to know every foot soldier and be able to see into their hearts and perceive everything that's going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, they want they want that wisdom that she has in the Third Age. They want that to show here and there, and they want us to be like, oh yeah, that is Galadriel. But no, that's not who you've shown. You've done nothing.
Exactly.
You're just leaning on that character later on and saying, it's the same thing they do with Mordor. It's the same thing where they said basically like, look, we want to show you yesterday how we created it. Okay, so five minutes ago we created it. Now in season two, we want you to believe that it has been there. It's ominous. It has lore. It is dark. There's all this in the elves when they speak about it. There's this sort of like extra edge to it. It's like it's just a volcano.
Its name too. They call it by name, even though that hasn't been on any maps
nothing,
or anything.
Nothing. Yeah. And so it's the same sort of like they want to lean on some of that lore they want to do both, I guess is what I'm trying to say. They want you to, they're leaning on what Peter Jackson did, and they're leaning on what was done in the Third Age. Then they're wanting to use those characters in really interesting, new, creative, clever ways. And then like, it just, none of it's believable, man.
Yeah.
It's just not believable. And I don't know, man.
No,
struggling.
It starts to hurt my head, honestly. Like, it really starts to just, like, it's almost kind of mind-numbing or mind-melting or stupefying. It's flabbergasting. It's dumbfounding. Like, it just, I don't know. I don't know who you're making this show for anymore, but it's not the people who, like, I don't know, who enjoy the writings of Tolkien. I don't think, unless, again, there are people who are able to separate it totally, and that's, I would say that's as big of a feat as anything that's happened in Middle Earth. I can't do it. Like, I just, to me, I'm like, that's the reason I love these stories is because, I don't know, of how the man crafted them and how he used actual mythology and he was trying to create a prehistory, and it felt real. It felt like something that could have actually happened, and none of this feels like it would ever happen. Like, this feels like a fever dream.
Okay. For anybody who is still hanging around here, maybe I'll pull this out, clip it up. Maybe I'll do another short on this. If you're wondering like why Ezin Lehner is struggling so much with this, or why anybody would struggle with this, and you just don't understand it, let me first ask you: are you a fan of the Lord of the Rings series, the trilogy? And if you say yes, okay, stick with me for a second. What if we redid the Lord of the Rings? Like Prime can do a TV show version of that, right?
They have the rights
to do that. What if they just went ahead before? Let's imagine they didn't do Rings of Power and they said, you know what? We're actually going to redo Fellowship, Two Towers, and Return of the King.
Yeah.
And in that, though, when we get to Rivendell, big surprise for you guys.
Theoden's there.
Yes, Theoden's there, and Celebrimbor's there. All right?
Oh, my God.
Celebrimbor, dude, because again, elves live a long time. So he could be there. And you're like, and then some of you would be like, what are you freaking talking about? It's like, Celebrimbor dies well before that, right? Well, wait, what we've seen here is we're supposed to accept that in this show. We're supposed to accept that, like, characters can just show up at different points. It doesn't really matter, right? It's like...
Yeah, time doesn't matter.
None of that matters. Like, we should be able to go, you know, to the Third Age, and there should be, I mean, like, High King Gil-galad, like, he should be there. And then you might say, well, no, he died in the fight against Sauron. It's like, no, this is another fight against Sauron. He actually lived through... What are you... that's not the show. Come on, guys. We want that character, and we want to put that character with Frodo Baggins and everybody else, because we want to, right? And you're like, what are you talking about? It's like, guys, these characters do not exist at the same time. Yeah. And if that doesn't upset people alone, I think that is one of the reasons why most of the Tolkien fans were just sort of like we got to do it this way. No, you do not. I can send you one link to one video person, to one person who did it. Lane and I could have thought, I mean, anybody can think through different ways to do this. I mean, like, it's there were other pitches to the show to Amazon Studios to do this differently.
So wild to think about that.
There were multiple pitches for different shows, and they chose this one. And so I think that's what's like kind of disappointing is that. You know, I if you can believe that Isildur and Elendil are supposed to be on the screen and in the same time frame as Celebrimbor, then why couldn't we believe that Celebrimbor was like he or somebody else is still alive in the Third Age during the Council of Elrond? Why couldn't they be there? Like, I think people would have a problem with that. They'd be like, "Well, that's not. I don't even know what you're talking about. That's just made up." Like,
dude,
well,
I mean, it's and it could be. Yeah, it could even be just something as, like, literally, like, let's take that a step further with Theoden. Instead of him being this makes as much sense as the stuff, like what you're saying, is making this as much sense as what's happening in the show, right? Let's have Theoden be the one who comes and tells Frodo that he thinks that the ring is the One Ring. Let's just have him show up.
Why not? Why not?
And he'll be writing Shadowfax, and he'll be accompanied by, Denethor. And then they're going to tell him to go to, to go further west. And they're going to go to the Grey Havens and hang out for a little bit. And then Gildor and Glorian is going to tell them to go north, to seek ancient ways. And like, it just like you could literally just it's just mashing up all this stuff.
Smash it all together. I mean, seriously, like you could say, well, they had to do it this way. No, they didn't. They could have actually just showed you.
They made it harder than they had.
They could have done five seasons on literally just the sack of Aragorn and build it all up to this climax right here. This could be our climax, right? And it's sort of like he walks off with Celebrimbor on his on his stick. You know, they could have done all of that and never gone anywhere else, and we've been like, dang, dude,
it would have been awesome.
They showed us a moment five seasons. Man,
did you think it was hilarious too when we got that? When Sauron was kind of like, hurry up, Celebrimbor, and he was like, hey, this takes time. Did you almost die laughing when he said that?
Yeah.
I was like, what's it take, like years? You know,
it takes time, doesn't it?
Years and years and years, like decades of working on these rings. Is that what it takes? Is that
right?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That they put a character in there talking about how long it takes the craft rings of power. It's just like, my gosh, dude.
Yeah, man. I mean,
they're the trolls, honestly. I mean, it's
That's okay. That's the point. Is that like, yeah. I'm telling you right now, and I honestly want to hear from, gosh, I would love to get an honest take from other content creators and other people about like, what do you think about Celebrimbor here? What do you, yeah. When you've read and studied the lore and you knew what his role and purpose was and stuff like that, are you, cause even like, I guess I'd be even, maybe, I don't even know, man. I mean, I'd be a little less bothered if you just focused on that and you want to do it a little bit way and have some creative edge to it and stuff. Okay, you know, whatever, there's some cool things here. But it's the whole work of just all of this being compressed together and just characters that are just in the wrong place. Like, none of the plot points, none of the beats are actually lining up to what was there originally. And that is what feels so... disingenuous. It just feels like it's not it's not true. It's not you're not even trying. Do you know what I'm saying? You're not even trying to bring. You didn't look at Celebrimbor on paper and study him, because they had to study this character. Who is he? What's he go through? What's happening to him, right? And then they said, okay, let's execute that. And if this is the execution of that, then that's not what they're doing though. So let me back up. No. They're not actually trying to execute what's on paper. I don't think they can say, "Yeah, we were trying to pull that off." Okay, no,
we're going to, dude. We're taking a family vacation to Florida, and we're just going to go. What, are you going to use any maps or anything? No. Well, aren't there maps that exist that could get? Yeah, you're going to use one? No. You're going to use like you want a GPS on your phone or anything? Like, no. We're just gonna go. We'll get there. It'll be even better than if we followed a map. Just watch. Mm-hmm. You just wait and see. It's like they're like ignoring a map that or instructions. It's like when we try to build stuff without reading the instructions, it always takes longer. It's always more of a hassle. We always drop more swear words. Like it's never as good as just taking a glance at the direction book. Even if you don't read it word for word, being like, okay, this goes, or the instructions, this, then this. Okay, all right, I need that piece. All right, got it. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They didn't do that.
And I think that's the thing, is that you Lane said it earlier at the beginning of the episode, and I'll say it one more time just to reiterate it. Like, when there are five pillars in the second age or whatever, from, you know, and you just say, nope, gonna ignore all five of those and do our own thing, and then you go look at what Peter Jackson did, and there's like 300, right? And he was like, I'm gonna pull off 295 of those. And so there's five that he didn't pull off, right?
Right,
they don't really matter that much, because you pulled off 295 versus you pulled off zero of the pillars that were there. So that's our problem, man. I mean, God, it's hard to watch. And again, if somebody, and I still want to say this too, anybody who's just never read any Tolkien doesn't even know what this is about. Like, I think of my dad, maybe, for example, and just wanted to come watch this, they'd be interested. They wouldn't see all the things that we're seeing. So I still want to give people like, hey, you're awesome. And even if you are somebody who's a lore person and you like love Tolkien's lore and you just like a bad TV show, and you're just going to, like, you're allowed to do that, right? Like, that's totally fine. Go for it, man. We all got our little, you know, dirty little pleasures, you know what I'm saying? We all got those movies we turn on that we're like, I don't know, man, this is a bad movie. And by the way,
little mother-in-law kisses, you know what I'm saying?
Jiminy Christmas. How are they?
Jesus.
Are they? Let me ask you a couple questions. Are they never going to bring in Celeborn? Are they never going to bring him in?
I for real think that Galadriel next season is going to be like, I am with child. And Elrond's going to be like, we shall name her Arwen. I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we even have time for the characters we have, let alone like, oh, here comes Celeborn. Like, think about if you did that and you did that well, you would have to spend like four episodes of just them in therapy, in couples therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. For
us to be like, okay, I buy it. Yeah, sure. She told him about Sauron. She told him about the weird thing with Elrond and the weird thing with Adar and how she almost had sex with Halbrand. And like, yeah, I mean,
And there's too much of that. I'm sorry. That also irritates me. There's too much of that. And they play coy with it in the interviews too. So even some of your press around this is sort of like, well, no, it's meant to kind of, you know, what do you think? What do you see in there? Are you sensing it? It's like, no, dude, you guys got to be joking me, man. This is not something that's not, I don't want that. That's not the spirit of Tolkien. So even if I were to give you some credit and sort of say you're trying to conjure some of that spirit, like all this sexualized energy that you have that you're throwing around with these different characters and relationships and Mordania and all the different stuff that's going on, it's just not I don't know, man. It's too much. The other thing I got to say, I'm just watching, it's on the screen right now, is like Celebrimbor, he uses the hammer twice to try to take off that he is the second greatest like smith of all time.
Yeah.
Essentially,
yeah, behind
like,
me.
But behind Lane. And it's like he two swings of the hammer, all the tools in there. He forges literally 9 rings of power right there. All right? Yeah, and he can't get that off. Do you know what I'm saying?
He's got to cut off his own thumb. I got a question. Why couldn't he have put the chain under that paper cutter and cut the chain?
I don't know. I literally do not know.
There you go. I think I just blew that plot hole wide open.
It's the sacrifice. We're going back to like, this is the sacrifice that he needed. And
great creation requires great sacrifice.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yep. So, and still, by the way, like in the background actors, we're this deep into when Celebrimbor cuts his thumb off and he's rushing down the stairs, there's still just random people running around the courtyard.
Running around. Yeah.
That like are the battle has been raging for a day and a night.
Days.
And there's still just random people out there running around. Instead of like military and whatever, they're just and by the way, you'll see them run to one door, look, and then run back to the other. And you might think, well, that's nitpicking. And it is nitpicking.
No,
but
it's not at all.
The execution of it. And that all plays into the art form of this and the believability. And it's just bad. Yep. So anyway, so
I've likened it to, like, I think we've said this. I've said it to Sarah, and I think you and I have talked about it. And I've said it privately to you. It's like, I mean, I'd rather watch a middle school play.
Yep.
And that's not nothing against middle school. Middle school plays are supposed to feel like middle school plays. The most expensive TV show of all time is not supposed to feel like a middle school play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just what it feels in scale and in emotional depth and in, you know, the complexity of writing and plot.
Yeah.
It's what it feels like.
Hey, again, they've got good orcs. There's at least a lot of dirt flying. There's a lot of dirt. There's a lot of grime. I'll give it that.
Dirty.
There's a lot of smoke. Yep. There's a lot of fire, mud.
Still doesn't feel real, though, does it? Despite all
that's the background actors. I mean, that's like, it's so corny and forced. Like when Adar has his moment that, like, you know, march with me or whatever, there's no one there. All of a sudden, everyone's just picking up spears and rolling with him. And you're like, he said that. I mean, he was as loud as a freaking church mouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He barely spoke. And then, like, all right, they're all going to marshal up with him and start, you know. By the way, why weren't they in the fight?
What were they doing?
What are they all doing, like hanging back there and stuff? It's,
Also, think about the huge buildup we had for Damrod, that troll.
Dude, yeah.
Right? He's got a featured track. We see him early on. He's like in it for, I'm like, he's the Darth Maul of Rings of Power.
Yeah.
Like, we literally get all this hype and then the actual product. I mean, he's worse than Darth Maul. Darth Maul actually had a, like, Duel of Fates is amazing.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
He just literally died and laughed. And it's like, what? And also I'm thinking, like, I know that some trolls are pretty tough, but like these the elven lords in the Second Age having to combine for, it took Elrond, it took Arondir, and it took Gil-galad to bring down that troll. Now, last time I checked, in Fellowship of the Ring, it took like pretty much, I mean, they all worked at it, but it was pretty much Legolas, right? I mean, it was pretty much Legolas.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Dude,
we've got three lords combined, not three lords, but like three warriors combined to eventually, barely take down one troll.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, it was so much build up for For what? I don't really
see. And what was he doing, too? Was he just sitting on the sidelines, like, getting more coach?
And so when they send him in, too, they're worried he's going to run over their own people. And you're like, I don't know. They all kind of cleared out, man. What was the big
right,
concern?
Was,
I don't
know. Yeah, like, move out of the way. Jesus.
What, he killed eight, like, he ran over two of your own guys? I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Again.
Yep.
Yeah. But send him in, dude. Send him in. God. Send him in. Get him, damn rod. Come on, boy.
Go get him. You
come on,
damn rod.
Jiminy Christmas. All right, we're done. I'm done.
Yeah, me too.
Did I hit my three? Let me get them all. Oh, the other one I had here was, Adar's Tears, dude. That was my third one, dude. When I saw that, I thought anything's possible. You know, anything is possible at this point. And it gave me hope for the rest of the show. Because I was like, if he can shed tears like that, like,
oh,
dude, this
so
show's
funny.
Willing to pull off anything. I have no clue what's coming next now. So I really thought that
like that character has really kind of fills it on. Like, so intriguing in season one, and now I'm just like, I don't even give. I'm so annoyed when he's on screen. I know what he's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
So predictable. Oh, my children are home. Sauron, hate him. We're friends, right? We both hate Sauron. It's like, dude. What in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
All right. Well, just couldn't do it today, guys. Sorry. We gave you our three and
couldn't find anything, buddy. We couldn't find anything.
No, I think you have to be honest. But that's the point, right? I mean, I was joking at the beginning of this about, like, you know, lying to you guys. I was able to find three, and I was able to really bring it in those other episodes. And this one just I think even the three that I did find yours and mine, like, it was very hard, and then two, why is it more difficult? Well, because the episode's worse. It's worse than the other ones, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, despite all the action and the battles and stuff, it's just it's the lore stuff. I mean, freaking D3 is like killing his own people, and
Narmi barely made it.
Like, D4
through us like stalks of wheat.
You like butter. He's just laying
like a butter knife.
Just laying us low, you know. And then, like, what we know about that ring doesn't have that effect on him like that. You know what I mean?
Dude.
Like, that's all contrived. That is all made up. And so
maybe that's the one ring, and maybe, like, Sauron's gonna go get it back and be like, I don't even have to forge it. It's already made for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say it again, just to remind folks, you know, when Sauron shows up, to Aragorn, he has the One Ring, and he's actually
in his dark form. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. He's trying to get the Seven and the Nine. He knows those are there, and then he's realized that there are three, and he's like, "Whoa, hold on a second. Those were made without. What is that, Celebrimbor?
Yeah.
Give me that." And thankfully,
dude, how much more compelling is that? That is so freaking compelling.
So awesome. And also, in the meantime, Celebrimbor has been doing legwork, going to, you know, what we now know as Lothlorien, and sneaking through Khazad Dûm and using his relationships with the dwarves to go seek out one. I mean, it's a journey he goes on to see one of the wisest individuals in all of Middle-earth. She earns a ring of power, right? She passes a test. It doesn't fall to her feet. It's like, all of these different things, you know, they add up.
Yeah,
when he goes back, he is the one on, like, Myrdania is not leading the freaking, like, up there on the wall, like, in charge of the forces. It's you know what I'm saying? Myrdania was up there leading the attack. It's insane. And so Celebrimbor is the one who is defending that city. You know, Celeborn is there as well. And he is out there. And then, yes, Elrond and others show up. But it's just, man, it's bad. And it's like they openly have this moment to really stand against Sauron openly. And I don't know why that wasn't on the table. I don't know why that wasn't on the books here for them to But
makes too much sense, buddy. Makes too much sense.
I guess. By the way, I'm watching Elrond hack through that rope. He took about 15 hacks.
My God,
still couldn't
get
it. Still couldn't get it.
They had some of the sharpest swords in all of Middle Earth. I know, I remember that moment. I'm just like, you got it. And then he gets knocked to the ground by Damrod.
Right.
Not very elven, but then you got Arondir, like, jumping off of satellites and eating rainbows. It's like, what?
It's all weird. It's like some of the elves can do so many acrobatic stuff and so many crazy moments where they show off their power, and then the next second they can't do anything. And it's like, I don't know if they have to recharge or if there's some sort of, like,
kryptonite somewhere,
buffer time, I don't know. But anyway,
buffer time, that's hilarious.
All right, guys,
I gotta get more health, man. I gotta get more health.
Yeah, right. Oh, gosh. Oh, here comes Gil-Galad. Cool. He's going to throw, like, who is he again? You know what I mean? At this point, you're like,
did you think it was funny how different, like, he shouldn't have had a helmet on. Gil-Galad doesn't need a helmet.
Yeah.
Can I just say that?
Yeah.
In the same way that Elrond doesn't need a helmet in the prologue and Gil-Galad doesn't wear a helmet in the prologue, mm-hmm. he doesn't need one here.
Yeah.
He doesn't need one.
Yep.
Doesn't
yep.
need one. So
I mean, Arondir doesn't have one. Arondir's got next to nothing on, and he's out here just 100%. Kicking butt, you know? But that's the character they made, Lane. That's their yeah. created character. That's why he has to save everybody. Go count the number of times that Arondir saves a day. And you might be like, man, as you're really No.
No, it's every episode.
Yep. It's every episode. Go look at all of their created characters and what they do, right? And then go look at like how they dictate to what happened. Like by doing a prequel, it's very sort of, you know, what we're going to, like, what happened here is what will tell you what happens in Peter Jackson. Like, because of what's happening here, this is important, right? This thing that we're doing now. And honestly, most of our characters are still alive to do what they do in the Peter Jackson series because of Arondir. Do you know what I'm saying?
Essentially, yes. I mean, we wouldn't have.
Thank God.
We wouldn't have Aragorn.
Thank God he was here.
Yeah.
And that's that. Like, none of their epicness is their own. It's.
Yeah. It's all somebody else. Yeah.
Whatever. All right. I know this is probably somebody's gonna be like, this is an all time low for Up Talking To. No, it's an all time low for Rings of Power.
Yeah.
That's the problem is that we've hung in there long enough. And
which
it's,
is pretty
it's
hard
all-time.
To do, honestly. Like,
yeah.
That's pretty hard to imagine.
I didn't expect it for this. I thought it's already lore inaccurate, you know, but like, I didn't think we were going to have Galadriel making out with Elrond. I really didn't I didn't think that would ever happen.
I'm going to watch that kiss again because I'm pretty sure it was.
It's on the lips.
I remember looking away. I looked away because I'm like, this makes me uncomfortable.
It's flat out on the lips and it's lingering. It is on the lips and lingering.
Weren't their mouths kind of open too a little bit?
They were on each other. And actually, she looks a little stunned, to be honest with you. So you're like, well, it's all about the deception, you know? Okay, whatever. But I mean, I don't know. Creative choices that I just, I'm not a fan of.
What a mess.
So anyway. Oh boy. All right. Well, friends, look, we'll be back with more. Obviously, what do we have? This is episode 7. What, we have one more?
One more. Can't wait, baby. Can't wait.
I cannot. You really can't. I mean, what are they going to do with Celebrimbor? What's the story going to be? Nobody knows at this point. I mean,
no.
We thought we did, but we no.
Also, we've kind of seen everything that we've seen in the trailer.
True. Yeah.
I have no idea what's coming. Like, we haven't seen much, so it'll be
fascinating. We've already seen in the trailer, Sauron take the crown, Morgoth's crown. And, you know, by the way, just so you guys remember, Morgoth's crown was actually, was created in, they at the end of the first age, they took that crown, right? And they created a collar and chained, and they chained up old Morgoth with his own crown. So, I don't know how Adar has it, but.
They didn't make that a snapback and sell it at New Era.
Yeah,
I thought
man.
They sold it at New Era and made it a snapback.
Yeah.
Wait, had to get it adjusted.
Hopefully that's merch. Hopefully that's merch we can buy, like some sort of, you know, Morgoth hat. Maybe that would be a cool thing. That'd be a cool thing to come out of this show. Some merch, like, you know.
We got a T-shirt in the works, so anyone who wants the Rings of Power T-shirt because they don't have their own merch, we made it for them. And
I just want to
feel like it speaks well.
Yeah, I for a good laugh, I want everyone to go back and look in this episode at about 1 hour and 4 minutes and just. Did you expect there to be 5 elves left? Did anybody realize that? Like, I just watched it again, and I'm like, when
you
King
can count them,
you can count them. Yeah. That's all that's left, and then
all that's left.
But did you see how many like Adar was calling from? It just, and again, yes, their forces did outnumber them. That is true and stuff. But like, and then Lane, I'm gonna be honest with you. When you then after they rush into the battle, and then if you pause this and you go look and count, if you count how many they showed surrounding like Elrond and Gil-galad, and then you like the fight goes on, they rush, they're battling, right? There's like an extra 15 to 20 to 30 that we didn't see in that one shot, right? So it looks like there's 5, and then they go to battle, and all of a sudden there's an extra 50, and you're like, dude, what is going on, man?
I know there's no concept,
no continuity in the own, and there, so
no.
Whatever.
I think too, they either have really tight shots or really wide shots. And there's no kind of like, it doesn't really bounce back and forth. So you don't, like in Helm's Deep, they do such a beautiful job of like following the battle. Like we start on the walls, and then the walls get breached, and then there's the defense behind the walls. Then you retreat to the keep, and there's all that stuff with the door for a while too, where they have to bring down the battering ram and fight them off. And
yep.
Yeah, it's just like you feel like, okay, you could go back. And those battles, even if you haven't watched them for years, this happened, and that happened, and that happened, and that happened. That battle we just saw, yeah, like you said, I saw a bunch of people running in the foreground and background, back and forth, sometimes the same people just doing circles, and then characters walking through chaos.
Yeah.
I'm about to watch The Kiss right now.
Oh, gosh, dude.
That ain't no 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
That was a 5-second kiss. They're breathing each other's breath.
Yep.
I mean, if that's the kiss you give your mother-in-law, then I'm never seeing my mother-in-law again.
Yeah.
I'm never going to go see her again.
Let me ask you one more question, too. So, you remember when D3 backhanded D4 with the Ring of Power on?
100%,
And I even saw people breaking this down. They're like, yeah, it has extra power. Like, he could, that's why he was shocked. Like, it shook him a little bit because he had that extra power.
Yeah.
Right? So, there are literally two rings of power on the battlefield here. Like, High King Gilgalad has one. And you could say, well, the Elven Rings are different, buddy. They're only there to preserve the realm and be shiny and glowy and all this kind of stuff or whatever, right? But you went ahead and made up a bunch of powers for Durin's ring, right? And then these guys actually have rings of power on the freaking battlefield. And they're of no avail. They're nothing. And actually, Adar gets one. So they took the rings into battle. Don't know.
Also, that's so funny. After that kiss scene, you've just got Elrond and another elf, the one that the messenger sends off to Moria, walking through the trenches of a bunch of orcs, and they're just like all coming up to him, going, wah, wah, wah.
"That's what I'm saying." And then
like, what is this? The Revolutionary War? Like,
when you cut to that,
we wave a white flag of treaty,
right? When you cut to that, they let him mount a horse, and then he's surrounded. Right, I mean, like they kind of get like the battle just breaks out, and it's like, where did he get back to? I don't know.
Why did they just kill him? It's just so stupid.
Yeah, there was a truce though. They had to kind of, I don't know. Adar is a good dude. He's shedding tears for
his children.
For his children, and so he's trying to.
He's the Michael Jackson.
He's honorable. He is honorable, and
he is. So.
Anyway, there's more, but we ain't got time for it. It's too late for us.
Can't wait.
And, this was a new, I want to see what the news articles say about The Kiss. I want to see what people think. So let me know if we're overreacting to it. Let us know, man. Give it to us straight. By the way, we also will respond to people in the next episode, either on Patreon or in the finale, the people who said, hey, man, if you don't like the show, don't watch it. If you don't like the show, don't watch it.
And keep your mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut. We do not want to, critics, all those critics who watch stuff, who, they should quit. They should quit their job, my friend. We don't want to hear anything, and we want to be in our own echo chamber. Look, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So we'll come back to that one and we'll address it more. I can't this episode because it's just, I'm in such a sour mood.
I'm done. Yeah, I'm done.
But... all right, there you go, guys. We're going to keep it real here on Up Talking Tolkien. And don't forget that Adar has Nenya.
And hey, despite what they're trying to tell you guys, Tolkien lives.
Was it? It was really that bad, though.
It was, dude. Yeah, it was. I mean, I don't know. I've hated every episode this season.
They're slaughtering Celebrimbor's character. They make when he was looking at the mouse and trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Or he figured out the pattern. I'm like, dude. And they're making him look like he's this guy who's like in an insane asylum and all this absolute craziness. And you're like, dude, that.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.